The views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? The answer is yes. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, and fellow adult ADHDer saying, hey, I'm glad you're with us. I'm glad you're listening, because without listeners, where would we be as a podcast? As they used to say, nowhere, man. That's right. We need listeners. And I hope you are enjoying or finding it informative when it comes to our previous Club ADHD, the podcasts, and we will do our best to make sure that this edition fills that bill. I'm saluting as I say that. Club ADHD, the podcast, as is the case with Club ADHD, we focus on us, adults with ADHD. We have the podcast, we have our Twitter account, and the Facebook page. And a special thank you to the folks that help us send this to you by way of presenting it. I'm talking about our friends at the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. Yes, they help us out here. They certainly do. And they have a terrific website that is really helpful. Tremendous. A ton of information. It's all there. No matter where you are in the world, as I've said before, you will find interesting and helpful information on that website. It's CADAC.ca. Okay, let me spell it out. CADDAC.ca. As well as the information, they have notices. The notices consist of webinars coming up, or maybe a seminar in your neck of the woods, even if you live in the city. Doesn't matter. Right across the country, they cover it all. It could be Vancouver one day, maybe another time. It could be in Toronto or Edmonton or Halifax. You never know. They're very progressive at CADAC, so check it out. You will not be disappointed. That's CADDAC.ca. If you'd like to check out all of our episodes of Club ADHD, the podcast, go to our web page. And here's the address, clubadhd.ca. That's clubadhd.ca. And in case you're wondering, the .ca thing, it's a Canadian thing. But we do not restrict ourselves to the borders of Canada. No, no, no. We go well beyond that. Listeners throughout the world, interviews from people throughout the world, could be in the U.S. one time, could be in Canada, could be in the United Kingdom, wherever, whenever. We people with ADHD, we are not confined by borders. Boy, ain't that the truth. And I'm talking physical borders too, right? Just because you live in a specific country. Now, you might be better off in a certain country compared to another country, better off meaning maybe that country and their government are willing to help people with ADHD. Maybe there's another country out there who totally ignore ADHD, and yes, they are out there. Or maybe some countries are in the middle and it's a crapshoot. Those types of countries, from what I've learned, are very common. So we are here. We are global. We are us. Us, the tribe. I don't know who came up with that, but somebody did. The tribe known as ADHDers, and in our case, Club ADHD, adult with ADHD. We're here. We're a group. We can speak out as a group, and we can help each other. Now, speaking of helping each other, I'm going to lead into my week. Yes, what have I been doing these past few days? Well, before I get to that, I'm going to ask, how are you doing? Great? Terrific? Perfect. So-so? Just getting by? Okay, could be worse. Or maybe it is worse. Maybe you are struggling and you're down and out, or so you think. Please don't think that way. It might feel like you're out of it. Do your best to at least get up from it. Hey, look at it this way. You're listening right now. If you're totally out of it, you'd just be curled up somewhere. Sit down and figure it out as best you can. Here's where I'm at, and here's where I want to be. How am I going to get there? It's called a plan. And if you need help, you need help. Yes, it's very humbling to go out and ask for help, especially if you're the type of person who offers help. Or maybe you are very successful in whatever areas you deem successful being. And now you're not. You're nothing. You're a nobody. Don't say that to yourself. You are a somebody. You have ADHD. Yeah, it's challenging. Yes, yes, we do have things that we have to deal with constantly, but we also have some good stuff within us, with a capital stuff. I've talked to hundreds of people with ADHD, maybe even the thousands, over these, well, I've been at this for over 10 years, not to say that I haven't had ADHD for 10 years. Now, I've had it all my life, but getting involved in it, being an active player when it comes to advocacy and helper with my work with CADAC and with this, Club ADHD, yeah, I know it can be a struggle, but I also know that there's a common thread, and one of those common threads, 9 times out of 10, every ADHDer has an exceptional mind when it comes to creativity, and many of us are smarter than the average bear. Remember that phrase? How smart is a bear? In any case, we have intelligence. We have creativity. Put it to use when it comes to us. Yes, us. I say this a lot, but it's true. If you're struggling, work it out. Work out the plan. And if you have to approach someone, do it. You can't do it all. Sometimes we need help. And I know it's a struggle to ask for it. Trust me, I know. But you'll be surprised at what can happen. You might say, oh, it's not going to happen. Well, maybe it won't. How worse will you be? This leads to my story for me these past couple of days since we last got together in the previous podcast. You know of my struggles. Well, finally, I said, okay, I've got my plan. I'm going to work it. And yes, I do need help. And I reached out to a person who I thought could help me. And they did. They did. And they welcomed the fact that I had a plan. Now, they helped me before they realized I had a plan because they came to me and said, okay, what's the plan? And I'm guessing, I can't say for sure, but maybe they thought I'd come back. I'm not quite sure. And that's where they'll come in and help me create a plan. No, that wasn't the case. I had a plan. I told them the plan. And I think the other end of the line was impressed. I would like to think so. I was impressed the fact that, yeah, I had a plan. It made sense. They accepted it. They felt good about helping me. And there you go. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Is it a total solution? No, but it's help that will give me the time to execute that plan. That's the key. I have to execute it. It's one thing to come up with a plan, and we're very good at that. We're very good at formulating a dream. Going out and doing it, well, sometimes for us, that can be a challenge because we can get distracted. I have vowed that I'm going to live up to that plan, and that's where I'm at. I'm happy. You can do it too. Trust me, you can. Yeah, you saying, oh, no, I can. Yeah, you can. And we'll just call it at that for now. All right. Speaking of helping, we've got this feature, of course, that we've created, I don't know, a couple of months ago, called T&T, Tips and Tricks, where we offer you a tip or a trick to help you get around some of your challenges. These past few weeks, we've said, all right, what are some of the common challenges we all have as adults with ADHD? And we would focus on that, and the tips would be based on that to help you. Okay, that's all well and good. Then I had a brainwave. Why don't we go to the people who are listening to us? Ask them to make their requests. Is there something that we can help you with? And after I made that post on our Club ADHD Facebook page, within 60 seconds, the requests started coming in, some more in-depth than others. Now, I have to admit, we can't get into the full crux of things. You know, if you got a big challenge, we can only take a little piece of it. But a little piece of it could lead to a bigger piece, could get your mind going, give you an option. That's what we want to do. So for the next several episodes, because we have a lot of requests, we can only deal with one per episode, we will focus our T&T tips and tricks on your requests. Now, this next edition of Club ADHD's T&T tips and tricks will be a little different from the others. How different? Well, I won't unveil that until we get to it. So why not get to it on this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast? And now it's time for another edition of Club ADHD's TNT. Otherwise known as Tips and Tricks. Here we are, folks. Or maybe should I say, here I am. Because I'm riding solo for this edition of TNT, Tips and Tricks. Our resident ADHD coach, Jason Froetz, couldn't make it today. And matter of fact, he had to make a decision, and I respect him for that. He's been bombarded with work lately, just things that have to get done. And yes, he too has ADHD. He's got things that must be done for springtime, big projects. And he had to make a decision. He had to cut back on some things, and he decided to cut back on this, and I respect him for it. And sometimes we have to think of ourselves and our family, and hopefully the person on the other end will understand as well, and I totally get it. Many times we ADHDers will say yes to anything and everything in order to be accepted. And sometimes we'll reflect on it and think, what did I do? This is really going to be a problem for me, and it's not going to be good for me, but I'm going to do it for them because I promised and I want to be accepted and blah, blah, blah. That just leads to an unhappy life, and no one wants that, right? As a matter of fact, this decision by Jason ties in with today's question. Hey, the stars are aligning, I guess. And now, let's get to it for today. As I mentioned, I asked for TNT requests on our Facebook page, our Club ADHD Facebook page. What would you like to address? What would you like us to address? Now, we're talking one or two tips here. We can't address big issues, but we can take a portion of it to help you out. Maybe that small portion will lead to you being able to figure the rest out, or maybe get you on the right path at least. What I'm about to read falls in that category, but there's something that we can address that will help us all. At least I hope so. This comes from Suzanne. Suzanne says she's dealing with RSD. And if you don't know what that stands for when it comes to ADHD, it means rejection sensitive dysphoria. And she's battling how to communicate in a healthy way, how to process and communicate emotions. I struggle a lot with internalizing symptoms / reactions. Part of me says they're irrational, but sometimes I find myself later kicking myself for being complicit when my boundaries felt crossed. But I scare myself when I get upset because I feel out of control and so often like I can't find the right words. Am I being misunderstood? Okay. Suzanne, that's a big issue here. When it comes to RSD, it's a situation of retraining your brain, retraining your thought process, getting a handle on your emotions. That doesn't come with a quick tip. It doesn't come with a single session with a therapist or an ADHD professional, a psychiatrist. It doesn't. It takes time. It takes time for that conditioning to work, to become second nature. Because if I tell you a certain tip on how to do something, it's not going to work. It just won't. You're not there yet. Now, if you are there, maybe the tips I'm about to tell you will work. And you know something, rejection-sensitive dysphoria, it happens to most of us. Us being adult ADHDers. Now, when we talk about teenagers, it's been said that 99% of teens suffer from RSD. And you know something? That makes sense to me. We don't want to be rejected. We want to be part of the group. We'll do and say whatever it is to say, whatever needs to be said in order to be accepted. In my case, I can go back to my teen years and I look back and I thought, well, my humor was my in with some groups. Unfortunately, it was the humor targeting other teenagers and not physically harming them, but you know, just joking around. I didn't see any harm with it. Now I do. Back then, oh yeah, it's harmless and I'm making people laugh, isn't that great? No, it's not great. Now, thank goodness it didn't happen a lot, because a lot of times I was being targeted. But it did happen, and I regret it, and I went back to the people, and I apologized. My ADHD really kicked in, because I kept apologizing and apologizing. And finally, one individual said, enough, I accept your apology, no more. I was bugging them, even apologizing. In any case, I'm not going to address the teenage thing, and I'm not going to address the big picture. Suzanne, you've got to do that with the right people, the right person, and it has to be prolonged. Now, your post brings to light a situation that we can glean off of this. When it comes to somebody asking us to do something or wanting us to be a specific way, then as time passes, we often say to ourselves, what did I get myself into? This isn't good. This is not good for me. Here's a bonus tip. Sometimes we have to put ourselves first. That's right. Us. It's hard to do, especially if you want to be a member of a group or you want to be accepted or whatever. No, sometimes we have to think of ourselves. It's not rude. It's not impolite. It's being practical. It's being self-serving. Okay. Yeah, but in a good way. Now, if you're in a circumstance where somebody is asking you to do something that right from the start you realize that, well, this is going to take some time, a few bells go off in your brain, ask this question. Can you give me a little time to think about it? That's tip number one. Ask for time. It could be 10 minutes, could be an hour, could be a day. And then figure it out. Make your decision. If the person says, oh, I got to know now. If it's not an emergency, well, if this person is pressuring you, that's a red flag. Don't get involved. That's my opinion. That's saying that this person is putting their needs over your needs, not even factoring your needs. Do you really want to get tied up in that? I know I don't. But there was once a time when I would say, yes. But not now. All right, so you're thinking about it. Say that person agrees to give you some time to think about it. And you're thinking about it, and all of a sudden you're thinking the pros and cons. And sometimes you got to say no. It's not the right thing for you. It's not the right thing for your loved ones, family members, whatever. You have to say no. You should feel comfortable in saying it. If you're going to say no and be respected, say no, then give a reason. Not an excuse, but a solid reason that makes sense. If the person can't accept your reasoning, well, that's their issue. And if they take issue with your reasoning, then saying no is clearly the right answer. So in review, here are my two tips when it comes to people asking you to do something or getting something from you, whatever. First tip, ask for some time to think it over. Tip number two, it's okay to say no, but you should follow it up with a reason, not an excuse, a solid reason. Okay, so those tips seem simple enough, easy to do, right? Well, it could be a challenge for some of us ADHDers if we haven't conditioned our brain, if we haven't talked to professionals about all this, because our impulse is strong, it's fast, and it's tough to rein in, but it can be done. It takes practice, it takes time. So if you are in a position to be able to say, yeah, my brain's okay for that, I can handle that, then maybe it's in your best interest to think about those tips. Remember, the decision is yours. I'm just tossing those information bits out there. It's up to you to put them into practice. That's it for my edition of TNT, Tips and Tricks on Club ADHD, the podcast. I hope you found it helpful. Fingers crossed. And don't forget to visit our Club ADHD Facebook page and find the thread where I'm asking for your requests. Put down your requests. I'll do my best to answer them. Now, what's next? I'll tell you what's next on Club ADHD, the podcast. The interview portion of this episode. And we've got a good one. Up next, we have a fellow Club ADHDer by the name of Bev, who hails from British Columbia. And during our interview, Bev admits that she was a bit of a challenge when she was a student during her high school years, so much so that some of the teachers really couldn't handle it and said some bizarre things to her parents. Plus, Bev also tells us about a career that many of us have never considered, at least considered being conducive to someone with ADHD. But after you hear her explanation, you might agree with me that, hey, this makes sense. Now, we started off our chat with Bev with the usual question, when were you diagnosed with ADHD?
So I think I was around 31 or 32. It was a tough time because I was dealing with a lot of different things that I didn't even realize I was dealing with, which is pretty typical of ADHD.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an aside. I was already in counseling for complex PTSD and wow, depression and generalized anxiety. And we were already working on all those pieces.
Okay, so you have all these things, all this mental stuff going on. How did ADHD stick out? How did you find it?
Right, because we wanted to kind of weed out that our approach was compatible to the way that my brain was thinking. And I, because I work in the field, because I'm already really exposed to ADHD working in the field, I mean, I had already pretty well put it all together. And so it was something that when I was talking with my therapist, and I was like, you know, I think I could be also dealing with ADHD. I mean, that's where my brain goes most of the time. And she said, yeah, I believe that's probably it. Why don't we just go ahead and do it? So because I live in an isolated area and small town, we didn't have the psychiatrist or anybody like that. So what we did is I did 4 different tests, and I also have a good memory on my past. So I was able to really do a clear assessment. And by the time we got to the 4th one, we both looked at each other and went, it couldn't be more clear if we wanted it to be clear.
So if you can define, you said in the field, what, you went to a medical health facility, and you said you're already involved in it work-wise. Were you working within the mental health field?
I was working as a nurse, both in hospital and in community. I was also working as a child and youth counselor. So I was very well-versed in ADHD because it's quite common.
Right.
When you're in this field to be exposed to it. That's part of what you're doing, is you're helping families negotiate that type of diagnosis and how to support their children and support the child. Yeah.
You're not alone, because a lot of people who get involved in, say, what your line of work, and even people who are maybe covering it as a story in the media, it's not uncommon for these people to see, well, wait a minute, you really mean it's this, it's that, is that, I think that's me. And we kind of stumble on it, I guess.
I would agree with that, because you start to see pieces of yourself in the work that you're doing, and then you start to line it all up and put it together. And because ADHD is very evident from birth onwards, when you're someone like me that's able to go back and say, you know, even I can even remember when I was 3 and all the struggles that I went through. And my parents are able to say, yes, actually, you were, you know, you did struggle in different areas, and you did struggle in school. And I have all my school reports and that. So you start to put it together. Absolutely.
What did your parents think about it at the time? Just that you were a troubled kid?
If it could have just been my family, I would have fit in beautifully. I was farm kid. So if you're going to have ADHD, being on the farm is perfect.
Yeah,
because you've got space and room, and you've got some structure, and you can be who you want to be. It was in the school system that the struggle was. And because my father struggled in school and my mother struggled in school, they praised me when I could get stuff done that I knew I was working really hard on. Right. So they weren't the issue. They actually supported me all the way through it. It was more the school system that failed to be able to really teach.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but it's true. Yeah, you were wide open, and all of a sudden you're placed in somewhere where you have to conform to rules and whatever. And yeah, that does make sense, that your ADHD would really make you stand out, and not in a pleasant way.
Exactly. And what I find the strength of ADHD is creativity.
Right.
And that's what I bring to the people I work with too, is it can be incredibly creative. So as a farm kid, you often come up against different things that are happening that you have to think outside the box.
Sure.
You have to think very creatively how you're going to deal with that situation.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't have that access to whatever you need. Sometimes you have to fabricate it yourself.
Exactly. Like, you know, simple as putting binder twine on top of the gate to be able to close it, because, you know, the gate's not working anymore. So instead you just kind of piece it all together, and those kind of things. And that's a strength that's seen in farming communities, at least when I was growing up, and being able to do a lot with your hands and being able to be physical and get out there and do the work and work in the garden. So you got all your energy is going all the time because you're working hard.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, Beverly, I've never put that 2 and 2 together when it comes to, I've often thought about, well, you can get into advertising and this and that, but farming, I never thought of it, but yeah, you're right. It does make sense.
Yeah, it was, and you're also able to use your imagination to however far you want to go. I had very patient parents, so I would take my books that I was reading. And because it became alive for me, I would create different scenarios. So I had a closet, which, like Chronicles of Narnia, I put up a blanket yeah. and I had my fruits inside. And then you go inside just like they went into the cupboard. I read another book that was set in a farm. I went out in the middle of the field and I read it to the cows. So, you know, when you're able to have that big imagination and be able to do it, school becomes very hard when now you've got to sit in order to learn.
Yeah. Beverly, my mind just went somewhere here when you were saying that you were reading to cows. I had visions of a cow saying, well, what did you think of this cow? And the cow responds, very moving. Bada-boom.
That's a good one.
That's my ADHD brain for you. Now, Beverly, I have to bring this up because the reason that I was really intrigued and never thought about the farming thing, but when you were making some posts on our Facebook page and we were discussing different things, you brought up something that really hit me hard. And right. I'm not sure if it was totally because of your ADHD or other things, but you had a teacher tell your parents when referring to you that you are a child of Satan. I can't believe that. Now, what was that all about?
He was a teacher who was very, very religious, obviously.
Right.
Working in a non-religious school. It was a public school. I had him for grade 8 math, and I had him for grade 10 math. And it was in grade 10 math that everything really came together. Like, and that's where he said that to my mom.
Wow.
So part of it was definitely the ADHD. I realized when I was 29, I went back through and trying to take all my algebra again to see if I could get it done. And the instructor then realized that I have a form of dyscalculia. So I reverse numbers. I reverse formulas. Okay. I do it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dealing with all of this that we don't know about, of course. I'm sitting at a desk and I'm bored and overwhelmed from the work. So right. I tend to chat with my neighbors and pass notes. I'm also quite vocal. I was a very vocal student because there was a lot of other things that was going on in the school. And I was the one who would stand up and speak out about it,
okay.
which I think personally was part of the ADHD allowing me to do that. Unlike my friends, I didn't think about the consequences.
Yeah, there was no vetting that. Yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah, and I didn't have great impulse control. When I thought of something, it came out of my mouth.
No surprise.
So him and I went around the bush a few times with my arguing.
That must have been one hell of a bush. Holy cow.
Yeah. So my mom finally went to talk to him to find out why is it that I can't get the math because I'm coming home with like 2 to 4 hours worth of homework. I'm bawling. I'm crying at the kitchen table. I'm now fighting with my parents. They're fighting with me. My dad said when he looks back on it, he said, I wasn't angry at you. I was just so angry that we couldn't help you because nothing we could do could get it into your brain. And part is the ADHD too. It can be hard for us to understand those algebra formulas.
Ain't that the truth? Algebra and I did not get along in high school.
Right? So when she went to talk to him to say, you know, do we need a tutor? What do we need to do to support her? He says, well, I'm not going to teach her.
Oh,
she is the child of Satan. She is a spawn of the devil. And I'm not Satan's child. And my mother came
Wait
back
a minute.
Home and said,
wait a minute. He's saying this to your mother, your parents.
Yeah.
That, I mean, for a guy who's teaching algebra, things aren't adding up for him because he's saying to her that you are a child of Satan. So what does that make her?
Exactly.
I think he's the one who's got the problem. Holy cow.
Yeah. So she did give me permission. She said, I tried to get you out of the class. They won't allow you to drop it.
What?
So you are to go to class, you are to put your head down. I don't care if it's a 2-hour class or a 1-hour class, you are to put your head down and go to sleep. Have a nap.
So what's the principal saying when all this is going on? Anything?
The principal and I didn't exactly see eye to eye either.
Oh. Boy, those bridges are burning.
Yeah, he told me that, nope, all our stuff stays within the school. Him and I, we did not get along. It was the 70s. Students were to sit down, shut up, and do as they're told. it's different now. I don't believe that could ever happen now. I mean, I believe it can happen, but I don't think it could go without it, the teacher being reprimanded.
This had to scar you in some way, I would think.
I knew my parents had my back because my mother telling me, deliberately fail the class. We'll deal with it next year. You can retake the class. You are not going to be dealing with that teacher any longer. Just go to sleep or read a book. I don't care what you do, but you're not doing the work. You're not doing the test. You're not doing anything. You have to show up for class, show up for class, but you're not doing anything beyond that. So I knew I had my parents' back. Like, they had my back.
Right.
And that they believed me. And that was enough for me to be able to keep going.
What about your friends or other students? What were they saying?
Well, see, he actually failed 75% of us.
Oh, really?
There was 30 people that showed up for the makeup class the next year. And usually they have an average of about 5 to 6 students.
Sounds like he has the problem of not being able to teach or adapting or something. So, okay, after all this, you know, after the dust settles with this guy, you move on to another grade. What happens?
Right. It just got worse because the more... When I first started school, we didn't recognize ADHD in females, number one.
Sure, it's very quiet.
Back in the 60s, only boys had it. And so my teachers just knew that I didn't sit very still, but that I loved to help things out. So they had me doing lots of chores, and I thought this was wonderful. I think they were smart, but at times I just thought that I was a special student.
Let's not deal with her problems. Let's just put her to work.
Yes, and I would clean classrooms like there was no tomorrow. I was an ambassador to all the new students. I filed all the books in the library. I mean, put me to work. I was happy, and I stayed out of their way. And then they could teach me. I would learn. They'd sit me down, and I could learn. And then I'd be off again and go do some more chores, and I'd come back and learn.
What did you learn? How much Lysol to put in the bucket or something?
No, actually, I learned quite a bit. I did a lot because reading is a real strength for me. So right. I did a lot of reading. I hyper-focus with research. Even when I was 7, you give me something to research, I would research it. It wasn't till grade 7 that I started to have the issues. And the more we went up in the grades, the more that I found my brain was not wanted to learn it, but was really struggling trying to learn.
Yeah.
And so the higher up in the grades I became, the more I struggled. And so by the time I graduated from grade 12, they gave me a B+ average so they could get me out of there, which were their words, and because they didn't want me to come back.
Maybe if they needed some cleaning done or something.
And then I went on to college, but I chose a profession where we learned in those days when you became a licensed practical nurse, you learned both in the hospital and in the classroom.
Okay.
So I was actually learning on the floor by the time 1 month of college was up. We were already working on the floor.
So practical.
In the hospital.
Okay, yeah.
Right. So we're learning on the job, which is a perfect way for a brain like mine to be able to learn. And then coming into the classroom, it was different because we're a smaller class. It's more intimate. And we're doing a lot of practical talking things through, learning. And where I struggled in college, again, was with the writing out of, I would go into too much depth,
right,
is what they would tell me.
So how did you conquer that?
By crying.
Oh, okay.
With my one, because I worked on a paper, it was 40 pages long. It should have only been about 25, and I had about 40.
So, like, if somebody asks you, okay, what's the temperature outside? Well, according to the barometric pressure, I get it. We can ramble
exactly
on.
So what she saw that I struggled with putting things together.
Right.
I had a couple of instructors that helped me to figure out how to take notes, mm-hmm, and how to study more efficiently from a book. Because as we know, textbooks are boring. When our brains get bored, they sure don't take it in. So I was really struggling taking information out of the books. And they helped me with that. And what the one instructor did for me was beautiful, because she looked at me when I was just like, I worked so hard and I still only got a C. Like, what is going on?
Right.
She goes, I watch you on the floor. You know what you're doing. You know your job. if I did this verbally, you would have been able to answer me.
Right.
It's because you had to put it from your brain to the paper that you had your difficulty. You'll get through that. You'll be okay because you can think around and you have a way with people and you, nothing's stopping you. You look at the problem and you go, okay, I can't go up and down, but I can go sideways. Okay, I can go underneath here. I can go there. I can go here. And you're not afraid to stand up and speak out when you need to. And all those things that you, that are a barrier when you're doing the paperwork, are a strength when you're on the floor. You're going to do wonderful. And she was right. Like, I did very well as a nurse. I worked very hard. And I worked in places that we didn't have a lot of backup. We didn't have doctors. We didn't have specialists. We had to think on our feet and not work always from the book. And so there can be real strengths with ADHD, and that's what I bring to people, is that there can be a lot of difficulties and a lot of barriers, and I'm not saying I don't experience that, but I do.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like
there
you did, yeah.
There are so many strengths, and we can bring out those strengths, and we can work from those strengths. And it's okay to say, you know what, this isn't my strength. I need a little bit of help over here, but I sure can excel over in this other spot.
You know, isn't it amazing when someone sees that and spends just a little bit of time just to alter the way that they're teaching and you see the results? It has to be rewarding for the teachers, too. I mean, it's easy to just to fluff off somebody. But if some of these teachers would only realize it doesn't take a lot of effort, just a little creativity to get you on the right track and you can become a model student.
Exactly. And it didn't take much because for example, with that 40 pages that I wrote, what she did is she said, you know, you have now looked at this from so many different angles. You have so much information that I trust that you can take this now and you can just go.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody else hasn't gone, like you've gone over what you're supposed to be doing, in other words. And so I trust that you can just go now and do it. Whereas somebody else, they might have just done the minimum amount of work. Well, I'm going to have to take them now, and we're going to have to go on to the next step.
They could have easily said, though, they, meaning another teacher, could have said, well, that's not what I wanted. I'll give you a big fat X, and we move on. But no, your teacher took the time to say, hey, I didn't ask you for 40 or 50 pages to go into great detail. But in doing so, it's obvious that you know what you're doing. That's great that that person could see that in you.
Exactly. And that's what I bring when I bring it forward to the people I work with or support, even to my own niece. She's got a lot of characteristics that are similar to my brain, and it's kind of a family joke because she's very much like me and my mother.
Okay.
And I'm like my mom, and my mom, we figure, also has ADHD.
Runs in the family.
And yeah, exactly. And so at Christmas time, she was trying to wrap gifts and struggling with the gift wrapping. And I just burst out laughing. I said, you know, I was on my ADHD group, and this is very common. You are now in this very special little group here, even though we haven't diagnosed you. And she just laughed. She's 11. And she goes, Auntie, I took the ADHD test, and I think I'm just like you. And I said, yes, you are. You're part of our special group. So is Grandma.
Okay.
And by now, we're all laughing, right?
You're happy about it. That's good. Yeah.
In it. It's not, and then we just laughed over the fact that none of us can really do very well with wrapping paper. Okay, all right.
But Beverly, I see that all the time, even in me sometimes. You want to do everything. At times it's tough to realize, at least for me, that no, I can't do everything. You know, I might understand it. I might understand how to put together a do-it-yourself type thing, but get me with a hammer and nails, maybe I'm going to be cutting 12 times and measuring 29 times or whatever. Yeah, it's great that you realize that in yourself.
Exactly. And it wasn't like it was just overnight. It took time for me to realize that there are so many strengths that this can bring. And I think it's because I was already working in it. So I was already... I've been trained to go from a strength-based focus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at what the weakness or the problem is. I look at what is already working well. So by the time it comes to me and I'm going like, oh, well, I'm just like my kids I work with.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. Now that I can relate to them.
It's just coming in my mind that, yeah, what you're saying and what you're doing is what many of us should be doing, is that instead of just thinking about the stuff we can't do and just dwelling on it, let's focus on the things that we do and do great, because there are lots of those things, but they just get clouded by the things we can't do. That's kind of silly exactly. When you think about it. Good for you. Yeah. I'm going to give you a round of applause for that. Very, very astute.
Thank you.
Very astute indeed. And
Thank you. You
told me something off mic, and the more I'm thinking about this, you're the perfect fit. You are a shop steward for your union. And
right. It
sounds like you'd be the perfect person, but there is a little caveat I want to throw out here, because usually what I've seen when you get somebody who's really vocal as a shop steward, you know what happens to them? They get hired to join management.
Right.
Has that ever happened? Has there been an offer? You'll get them out of my hair. We'll put them with us.
No. No.
It can happen.
That will never happen. No. I respect the work they do, because it is hard work to
sure.
do.
Yeah.
I was involved in my own business for a short period of time with my ex-common-law husband, and it's very hard work to have to say to someone, I'm sorry, but you don't fit here.
Despite that, I'm going to give you another round of applause, because it sounds like you're a very strong person. And what you're saying is that, hey, you've got these obstacles and you're moving forward. And what I'm hearing is that your ADHD is really helping you as opposed to holding you back.
I feel it really does. I do. Sometimes I wish I could filter a little bit better.
Right.
And so I do work on that. I definitely work on keeping myself centered and calm, but I have a really good support system.
Yeah, that's
both
good.
At work and outside of work. And so that really helps and makes a difference. And then when I need to, I go and get my own counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's incredibly important. And that way I can stay centered. And the few times that maybe I'll blurt something out that I should have probably not said, it's like, oh, well, that's just her.
Yeah.
And it's,
well, that's the thing, you know, as opposed to someone saying, oh, that's the person with ADHD. No, it's just her. She has her quirks, as we all do.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if society just looked at us like that and said, yeah, they're a little different, but no, they ignore us, or they think that we're blaming ADHD, or ADHD, heaven forbid, doesn't exist.
Right, exactly. And there's still lots that believe that kids outgrow it and we're just adults that kind of complain. And I'm fortunate in my workplace, very fortunate that I can actually say I have ADHD, and this is what I bring to the table that's a strength, so that I can help you to understand maybe what your clients are struggling with. And I just finished presenting a TED talk about ADHD.
Oh, you did? Wow.
My group, and a lot of support with it, right?
Very
people
good.
Go, oh, right. Bev doesn't handle well when we get too much noise here. That's right, too. We got to bring it down. I know that others in their workplace, they're not able to do that.
So wait a minute. You did a TED Talk?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I just attended a really good TED Talk that I found about living with ADHD. And
maybe we can jot that down, or maybe I'll get the information when you have it, whatever.
I'll find it and send it to you, because it's a really excellent talk.
Perfect.
And I get a lot of support with it. I'm not seen as being any different than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know from talking in my support group that a lot of people struggle with that. And some people have actually had to go to the labor board.
Sure.
Or talk to lawyers, because they've been let go because their workplace doesn't support them when they get the diagnosis.
Now,
which is ridiculous.
My involvement with CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, kind of an arm's length, I know certain things, and I know that British Columbia is a little more advanced than some of the other provinces in Canada when it comes to ADHD and government. But have you seen firsthand where the government has stepped in and helped?
Like in terms of being able to keep, like through the labor board, to keep their jobs?
Wherever, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't actually been involved in it, because it hasn't come up where I have been.
Okay.
But it sounds like some people have been using it to be able to get back to work.
That's great.
And I know I work within a union, so if they ever, if that was ever brought up,
yeah,
it's the law to accommodate. And I don't know if it's outside of BC or not, but in British Columbia, we have a law that says that you have to accommodate your employees.
Right. Oh, terrific.
And so if you're going to dismiss somebody and terminate their employment because they have ADHD, you better be able to show why
right.
you did not accommodate them to be able to keep their position.
Well, here's a little cat out of the bag that's somewhat associated with that, or maybe you can parallel it to it. We have coming up later this month, we're going to have a person who is from Scotland. A famous person with ADHDers in the UK because he is a politician. He's part of the government. He has stated openly that he has ADHD, and he is an ADHD advocate in the government. Wouldn't that be great to have one here?
That is awesome. That is really, really great.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking forward to talking to him, and maybe some other people might pick up on his lead. And if we can only get more people involved in government that not only understand ADHD, but have it, and it's totally likely. I mean, we have our strengths, as you pointed out.
Absolutely. And there could also be people who are undiagnosed who are already in government.
Right. Yeah.
And others who will not speak out because they feel that if they do, then they'll be seen differently.
Exactly.
And that's why I try to present in such a strength-based focus, because if I had any other type of disability, it wouldn't be seen as a disability.
Right.
And I don't feel this is a disability. This is just another way of being in the world.
It's kind of a fine line we walk, because sometimes you have to present the bad stuff to government in order to get them to react. But by the same token,
absolutely,
you've got to tell them that, hey, you know, we've got our situations, but we have our potential. And it's unlike a lot of things out there, you know. It's not like you have a broken leg is a broken leg. We've got good and not so good situations happening in our lives and our abilities. If people only knew, I mean, you take a look at Richard Branson, one of the richest people in the world. Yeah, he flies around the world in a hot air balloon, but he helps people, and he's created employment for thousands.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and one of the things I bring too forward is how many people in our history has likely had ADHD.
Right.
Right.
From the Wright brothers, you name it. Yeah.
Inventors, explorers, there wouldn't be exploring if there wasn't people who didn't feel that need to be able to leave.
Yeah, that's right. They were content. No, they had to go out. They had to create their own farm. The world was their farm, Beverly.
Exactly.
And they're roaming the fields. Well, very good. You know
that's
what?
Right.
I have not done this in, 3 years of doing this Club ADHD. I have never given a person 3 rounds of applause. You're getting it.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That and 25 cents won't buy you a cup of coffee, but at least you can tell your friends. Well, Beverly, I'm so pleased that you decided to come on with us. And I'd like to talk to you further, maybe down the line, to see what you're up to. But once again, thank you very much. I know you've inspired a lot of people here listening to Club ADHD, the podcast. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for having this format, because it's very interesting listening to the different podcasts and learning from them and hearing different people's voices.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you for inviting me to speak.
You're welcome. And there you have it. In my humble opinion, another successful interview on Club ADHD, the podcast. And a special thank you again to Bev for being so honest. Well, that just about wraps things up. When it comes to this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast, I'd like to thank the folks at CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, for their support in presenting this. Don't forget to visit their website, full of information. Here's the web address, CADAC, that's CADDAC.ca. And don't forget to visit our webpage, it's clubadhd.ca. We have all of our podcasts listed there. You can binge listen, and you can also hit a few links, a link to our Facebook page, as well as to our Twitter account. And yes, there's a link to CADAC and a link to moi, an email link, if you'd like to pass along some comments. All right, there we have it. We're getting set to do another one. We're in catch-up mode, as I mentioned, and the next podcast will be uploaded in a few days, and you won't want to miss this one. We were able to nail down an interview with a person who is in the right position for us ADHDers to get our word out there. And who knows, it might catch on. The position he's in politics. He's admitted that he has ADHD. Can you believe it? It's true. And he also waves the flag for us ADHDers. Now imagine that. Someone in politics, a standing member of government, admitting they have ADHD, and being our advocate. Now imagine if that idea caught on with other people involved in politics or about to get involved in politics who have ADHD. That would be to our benefit big time. Now that's what I call the right person in the right position, and we will be talking to this person. Who is this person? Well, listen to our next edition and find out. That's what we call a teaser, folks. It's Club ADHD, the podcast. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, reminding you that whenever you can, wherever you can, say it loud, say it proud, ADHD is real. Bye for now.